You are listening to Water Online Radio. Coming to you live from Boston, Massachusetts and ACE 2014, uniting the world of water. This broadcast is brought to you by Water Online Radio, the voice of the water resource and recovery industry, and WaterOnline.com, enabling water and wastewater professionals to make informed decisions. Water Online, now that's clear. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
This is Todd and Todd live from Beantown. Good afternoon and welcome to Water Online Radio's live day one coverage from ACE 14. Todd, year three of our coverage from this great event. We're off and running. First interview was great. This next one's going to be wonderful.
And I'm going to make the same comment I made before the land. I cannot believe the crowd that's here. I mean, we've got folks wandering by, fans of our guests.
It's the entourage of our guests. That's what it's all about. Well, let's get to it. Say hello to Brad Clark. He's the Vice President of Sales and Marketing with Singer Valve. Brad, welcome to the show.
Todd, it's a pleasure to be here. Delighted.
Oh, the pleasure is ours. Now, we've had Singer on the show before, Brad, but for the benefit of those that unfortunately missed it, take a few quick seconds. Tell us a little bit about Singer Valve. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Fantastic. Singer Valve is an automatic control valve manufacturer. We have locations around the world where we manufacture our products around the world. In North America, we have an operation in Vancouver, Canada, and also in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we do assembly, we build valves. We use control systems on our valves to control pressures, flows, levels, many things. So truly, we are a solution provider for valves.
Single rolling diaphragm technology. Give us a little education.
That sounds interesting.
Okay, single rolling diaphragms. Control valves are normally operated by diaphragms. There are other versions, but in the diaphragm world, many competitors use a flat diaphragm technology. The diaphragm is flat. Our diaphragm is a rolling mechanism where we maintain equal surface area above and below the diaphragm as it rolls. So what it offers is incredible stability. The valve strokes very easily up, very easily down, and very smooth. Traditionally, control valves using flat diaphragms, when you design them, they should be positioned in 20 to 80% of their stroke when they're operating. We can go right down to zero flow, right to maximum flow with absolute stability.
All right, so if I'm a utility and I'm walking through ACE 14 in these hallowed halls and I see all these amazing companies doing all this amazing technology, help me understand why single rolling diaphragm is something I really need to pay attention to. What's it mean to me?
Well, what it means to you is when you're in a water utility and you're trying to manage your pressures, by having good stability through the entire stroke, at nighttime, flows will reduce. Flows are minimized at nighttime, maximized in the daytime. When you get into low flow periods, you can have instability in valves. You can have some minor undulations where the valve's pulsing and hunting. So essentially, you're putting surges into the pipe system. When that happens, obviously, it's detrimental to your pipe, no matter what type of surge you have. More importantly, the stability through the entire stroke negates a utility having two valves. You need to have only one of our valves rather than a big valve and a small valve to control the different flows through the day. So from a cost point of view, it's incredibly less expensive by having one valve as opposed to two.
Okay, you kind of anticipated my next question. I'm going to say all the technical advances are cool. I mean, I love that stuff.
Okay.
But in terms of the dollars and cents, is there more? I mean, going from one pump to two is an obvious, very significant cost saving. Are there things on the operational side as well?
Yeah, well, a number of things, Todd. I mean, one, of course, is what I just referred to, mm-hmm. because not only is it the cost of saving the valve, but it's also the cost of a smaller chamber. You're pouring less concrete for your valve chamber around the valve.
Okay, so that's more infrastructure that you don't need.
Exactly. Less to maintain. Also, with the stability of the valve, with the single rolling diaphragm, you have less wear. The valve is doing less hunting, less pulsing. It's stable. And it truly does minimize minimizes the damage that can happen to the valves, and that's very beneficial. The other benefit is with the rolling diaphragm technology, the bonnet area above the diaphragm is much smaller, much less capacity of water in there, which is what you're controlling when you're controlling pressure. Mm-hmm. So when you have a large pressure fluctuation in your system, the rolling diaphragm will react very quickly, much quicker than a flat diaphragm technology. So if your pressure jumps to 70 psi and you want to drop it to 50, the rolling diaphragm allows that to happen much quicker.
Okay, so it's an automated process then that, I mean, I get the sense that utilities are getting better at managing loss and understanding how it's happening, why it's happening, and how to do something about it, but it sounds like this almost makes it ridiculously easy.
Well, it really does help because, again, your biggest savings when you're dealing with leakage, the biggest impact you can have is at nighttime because that's when you are overpressuring. Less demand increases pressure. When you have the higher pressure, you're losing more water. So when do you want your valves very stable? You want them stable at nighttime. You want minimize the hunting, the reaction in that. Stability is all empowering at nighttime. Are utilities becoming wiser about water loss? I think so. Many are. Many talk the talk. I think truly if someone is managing their water loss, they truly need to go through an audit process where they're auditing their system, and the IWA, the AWWA all have processes that can help you with that. We take water for granted in many places in North America. Many small utilities may at times invent numbers about percentages of water loss that they have, but truly you must audit your system to do that. And the average that we hear in North America is the water loss leakage rate is around 30%. Obviously, older infrastructure like perhaps New York, some of the bigger cities where you have aging infrastructure, the leakage rate would be higher. If you've got a very new city, it would be less.
Two-part question, Brad. How long has this technology been around, number one? And number two, what's the adoption rate of it? Is it something that folks are all over, you know, upgrading as quickly as possible?
Sure. Well, with the rolling diaphragm technology, we actually started on our larger valves using that in the 1980s. And that was not new technology. We did not invent it. It was in the industrial market where accuracy was really, really important. We brought that technology over to the waterworks arena in the 1980s. About 2 or 3 years ago now, we brought that down to sizes that include 6-inch and 8-inch. We haven't introduced it to our smaller valves. We hope to soon. So yeah, it's been around for some time.
So the technology is not new, but it sounds like made it new in the water industry.
Absolutely.
It's the application.
It's the application in the water industry for the stability. And the question is it being accepted? If you go back 15 or 20 years, people would roll their eyes and go, what is this rolling diaphragm thing? We have such a long reference list. If we can actually get someone to talk to somebody that's using the product now, it's amazing. The stability, people just don't even know it exists in some areas, but it has really caught on and it's getting a lot of attention.
What's next for you guys? When we talk again in 2015, what will be some of the highlights of this coming year?
Well, we've got a number of new products coming right now that we're real excited about. One of them is...
Anything you're exhibiting here?
Yes, actually, we're doing an insertion mag meter, and that's hand-in-hand with water loss and leakage, because beyond the control managing your pressures, you need to manage measure your flows going into the different zones fairly accurately. So we've partnered with a company by the name of Micrometer, and we're using their insertion mag technology, and it's working out real well. You can actually put that insertion mag meter right into our valve. And so now you can control pressure and you can meter all in one valve. The very, very exciting thing is right now that is all hardwired. We're hoping to announce very shortly about adding a battery to that. It's got a 5-year life. So you can measure flow through a pressure reducing valve with a 5-year life on a battery.
5-year battery.
Wow.
Yes.
That was a maintenance.
Yeah. And you know, and going back to space, you know, if you don't do it this way, if you do a pressure reducing valve and add a traditional meter, you need a huge concrete chamber because of the straight run. So again, what we're doing is looking at the whole cost benefit and bringing the size of the package down.
Talk a little bit about the impact of this technology specifically internationally. I mean, in the U.S., it's one thing, and that, I don't know, that's where my brain's been at in our conversation so far. It strikes me that there may be a heck of a lot more value in other parts of the world.
Oh, it's amazing. You know, I do a lot of traveling around the world, and we work with many developing nations in this regard. And one story strikes my cord big. We just did a project in Malang in Indonesia with just around 1 million people, and they did not have enough water for their people in the morning. When they turned their taps on, there was no water. So they implemented a water loss program using our technology with the rolling diaphragms and some unique technology and put about 100 zones of our valves in. And the very exciting thing for me is when they completed that, everybody in Malang had water in the morning.
How many people again?
About 1 million people.
Okay. So this is not a small project.
No. And what this allowed them to do is it allowed them to push their main lines out, and they then were able to give 150,000 people, more people that did not have water before, access to water. So it really was a good news story. Two other pieces with that story. Before they did pressure management, they were having one pipe break a day in their water utility, one pipe burst. After they put in the technology, they went to one pipe burst per month, which is an amazing number.
That's huge. And that was the pressure. It's not aging infrastructure as much as it was just pressure instability.
That's right. And the last thing is the energy consumption, because often you're using power, you're using pumps to refill reservoirs. So The very cool thing about that was their energy cost dropped because now they're not running their pumps all the time to fill reservoirs to supply leakage. They're reducing their leakage rate. They didn't eliminate their leakage, but they brought it down dramatically.
Well, this is really exciting, Todd, because it strikes me, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brad, but there's a lot of utilities that are not taking advantage of this technology, and there's a lot of amazing opportunity to do a lot of positive impact globally on this.
It's incredible. You know, and again, in North America, often we talk water loss and leakage, and sometimes people go a little cross-eyed when we talk about that. We often switch the topic to pipe burst because every water utility has pipe bursts. And when you have a pipe break in your system, you're getting a $15, $20, $25, $30,000 bill for the maintenance to repair that pipe break. Plus, you have the potential litigation to go along with it if you're washing cars away and damaging homes. So in addition to the leakage reduction, the obvious benefits from that, the benefits of less pipe bursts are huge.
Exciting stuff. Well, Brad, I hate to say it, but we're about out of time. Before we let you go, how can people learn more about this technology and Singer Valve?
Well, we invite you all to come on to our website at www.singervalve.com. We're certainly at the show here. We invite everybody to come through our exhibit. We have some of our technology here, and we have about 6 or 7 specialists from our company that would be pleased to talk to anybody, anytime.
Well, Todd and I are going to break away, and we're going to come check that stuff out. It sounds very exciting. Brad Clark, Vice President of Sales and Marketing with Singer Valve. Great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Todd, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Pleasure is ours. All right, well, that wraps this broadcast. On behalf of all of us at Water Online, this is Todd and Todd, Water Online Radio's live coverage from Ace 14. We'll be right back.